We begin the current daf in Sechtes Kedushin, daf Ches, begin on the top line of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf. That is, the Gemara brought on the previous daf, on Amud Beis, a machlekes between Rav Yosef and Rabba regarding a case of a man getting engaged to a woman with a piece of silk. So Rabba said that it doesn't have to be evaluated, the value of the silk, before he gets engaged to her, because we know it's worth at least a pruta, whereas Rav Yosef said no, it has to be evaluated. Now, there are two different versions in the explanation of this machlekes. The first version said that if he tells her, look, whatever it's worth, we don't know, it's a piece of silk, it's definitely worth at least a shava pruta, there everyone's going to agree, according to the first version, that you don't have to evaluate it because it's definitely a shava pruta and that's the minimum amount for kedushin. The machlekes was regarding a case when he said that I'm being mekadesh you with something worth 50 zuz, and the piece of silk was actually worth 50 zuz. So Rabbi says, okay, so why isn't she engaged? Rav Yosef said, no, she's not going to be engaged because it wasn't evaluated beforehand. Who cares? That's what it was worth. The reason is because since she doesn't know how to assess things, she's not confident, and therefore she's not accepting of this kedushin until she knows for sure this is the amount and the value he had promised her, and therefore if there was no evaluation before he gave her the silk, that's not a valid kedushin. That was version number one. Version number two, which is the one that our Gemara is going to be continuing from, is that Rav Yosef actually holds that you need to evaluate it even when he says, whatever it's worth. We know it's worth at least a shava pruta, and yet still Rav Yosef says if it wasn't evaluated, even though of course it's worth more than a shava pruta, she's not going to be mukadeshes. Why? So he gives the following reasoning. He says, how do we know a woman can be engaged with a piece of silk? Well, why not? Because how do you know a woman could be engaged at all? There are three different kinyanim. There's Kesef, Shtar, and Bia, which our Masech to open up with. How do we know Kesef? Because it says, we learn a Kicha Kicha from Ste Efren, which we know that there was with money, here it could be with money. But that's only with money. How do you know something that's called Shava Kesef, worth money, you could also create a Kedushin? That's because, as the Gemara will later on teach, from the word Yashub, it says in the Pasuk, where it talks about the redemption of an Eved, it talks about Yashiv Geulasei Mekesef Eknasei, which we'll see that it's not only with Kesef, but even something that's shava kesef, something that's worth money, it also has the same halachic properties as money itself. So it says Rav Yosef, so that means it has to be exactly like money. What does it mean exactly like money? It's not money, it's something worth money. Is it just like money is kites, has a set amount, you know a dollar is a dollar, it's not maybe less or more. So too, something that's shava kesef has to be exact. You have to know its value for it to function in the same way that money does. And therefore, says Rav Yosef, that's why, even if he says, whatever it's worth, I don't know, this piece of silk, maybe it's worth $20, maybe it's worth $120, I don't know, but both me and you know it's worth at least a shava pruta, it's not going to work unless it's evaluated, because it won't work with the halachic properties as money until it's a set amount. That's what Rav Yosef had said in the second version. That's where our Gemara continues, and Umar Rav Yosef says, Mena Minala. From where do I know this, that shava kesef, to work and function as kesef, has to be set amount, and until you do that, it's not going to function as something, as the value of money, until you know exactly the amount. How do I know this? The time, like, learn the braisa. The pasuk that we just quoted in conversation before, it says, Vayikra, in Vayikra Chafei Pasuk Nanav, the pasuk there talks about, regarding an Eved Yisrael, a slave, a Jewish person that's a slave of another Jewish person. So he's a slave for around 6 years. So it says, Im Oid Rabbis Bashanim, if there's still more years left for his servitude, so lefihen yashiv gulase, according to that amount, that's how he redeems himself, because let's say he was sold for $600 for 6 years. Each year is $100. So if let's say there's 2 years left, that's $200. That's how much he has to pay out to able to redeem himself, where the pasuk says, mikesef miknasai, from the money that he was purchased with, which we said, let's say it was $600. So regarding this Eved Ivri, now he has to go ahead and redeem himself with that remaining amount. So, says the Braisa, Bekesev hu nikna, what you see from the Pasuk is, that it's only with money that he's acquired as a slave, but ve'ena nikna b'tfuv b'kelim, you cannot purchase a slave with produce or vessels. That's what the Braisa says. Now, says Rav Yosef, hai tavuv b'kelim hechadami. How do we understand this Braisa? What is the Braisa saying that you obviously see when you're redeeming him, you have to redeem him from what's remaining from the money that it was purchased with, so you see you can only purchase him with money. But you can't purchase them with tefuah v'kelim. On that, Rav Yosef asks, what does that mean? Ilei mendulei maknu b'hu klal, if you would entertain to say that the Braisa is saying you cannot purchase an Eved Ivri with produce or with vessels, on that, says Rav Yosef, you can say that. Because actually, that the words of the Pasuk, as we quoted, says, Yashib gu'ulasei. he should repay for his redemption. Amar Rachmana, that's what the Torah says. Now, the word Yashiv is superfluous because the Pasuk could have said that if there's still more years left, Lefihen Gulasai, according to that amount, that should be his redemption. So, what does the extra word Yashiv come to say that he returns? L'rabbis, that comes to include Shavah Kesef K'Kesef, that regarding redemption, that he can redeem himself not just with money itself, but even something that's worth money. Let's say a piece of silk or an animal or something that's worth money. Now, therefore, as Rashi explains, since he could be redeemed with Shavah Kesef, so obviously he could also be purchased with Shavah Kesef. Why? Because when it talks about Gu'ulasai, which Yashiv Gu'ulasai, which Yashiv is saying, whatever it is that he returns to his owner, his Jewish owner, as payment. For his redemption, it says Mikesev Miknasai, from the money that he was purchased. In other words, we see that redemption is countering and is equating with what he was purchased with. So if you could redeem with Shavah Kesef, that obviously means to say that you could also be purchased with Shavah Kesef. So that's obviously not what the Brice is talking about. So what is the Brice saying? You could only purchase him with money and not with Shavah Kesef. So therefore, Rav Yosef continues and he says, Navi'ida lesbuhu Shavah Prut. And if you would entertain to say that, what is the Brice saying? You cannot purchase an Eved with Tvua and Kalim. It means if that item, that object, is worth less than the Pruta, so then my ear would be Tvua and Kalim. Now why would it say that only you can purchase an Eved Ivri with produce and Kalim that are worth less than the Pruta? I feel like Kesem Nami. Money also can purchase if it's less than the Pruta. So why, what is this halacha the Brice is saying, that you could only purchase him with Kesem and not Shavah Kesem? So Elalav rather proves of Yasef his concept, must be the Isbuhu Shavah Pruta. Must be that, yes, this animal, this piece of silk, whatever it is, the Shavah Kesef, is worth at least the Shavah Pruta. But Vakivin de Loi Kaitzi, since it's not a set amount, no one had ever evaluated Loi. That's why you cannot purchase the Eved Ivri with the Tvua V'Kelim, because it wasn't evaluated yet. In other words, because it wasn't a set amount. If you're going to set a set amount, then it's going to be like Kesef, and then you could purchase him. So says Rav Yosef, you see, there's no other interpretation in this Braisa besides to prove my point that even when you say Shavah Kesef K'Kesef, has to be a set amount. And that's why he said with the piece of silk, even if he says whatever it's worth, I want to be Mekadeshi with it, it's not going to work because it's not a set amount. Now the Idoch, but Rabbi who disagrees on Rav Yosef, he says, no, Hachikama. What the Braisa is saying is, B'Toyres Kesef Hutnikna. And that is, yes, whether you purchase the Eved Ivri with money or something that's worth money, of course, either one's going to work. But you could only go ahead and purchase him with the halachic kinyan through the medium of its being called damim, of money, of a monetary acquisition. What does that mean? Ve'ein nikne b'toyras tevo b'kelem. But you cannot purchase him through the halachic principle, the characteristic of produce and utensils. So mind, what does that mean? What does that mean, the principle, this is the money principle and this is the produce principle? It means, ma'ininu chalipin. It's a reference to chalipin, which is a different kinyan. Because as Rashi points out, actually, and that's what Rabbi is explaining in the Braisa, that it was customary to do chalipin, which is a customary exchange that you give someone something else, and through that creates the exchange of what really is being purchased, where they would give produce or utensils, as Rashi brings Pasuk in Rus that says Shalaf Ishnale, by taking off his shoe, which was a keli, that actually by giving it to the other person is chalipin, it's exchange of an item, some arbitrary item, which in this case is a keli, which can then make the transfer of the other thing. So to produce, the Gemara teaches us in Bava Metzia from the word kol davar, which teaches you whatever it is that you use, even produce, comes to teach that you could do chalipin with that too. So says Rabbi, that's what the Brice is saying. Of course you can go ahead and be purchasing an Eved Ivri with Kesef or Shavah Kesef. When it says it's not going to work with Tvua V'Kelim, it means to say the general medium that it's used for, which is Chalipin. Chalipin doesn't work. You can't purchase an Eved Ivri with Chalipin, as Taisus explains. And the reason being is because the whole way that we know about the Kinyanim of Eved Ivri is from Kesef, that we learn off in the Pasuk, with a Kesef Miknasai, which means it has to be working along the halachic principles of money, which is a different kinyan of you're paying for it, and that's how you're getting the object. Whereas he actually, Taisa says, but Eved Kanani, you could purchase with Chalipin. Here what we're talking about, that it cannot be purchased with Chalipin, it's a reference to an Eved Ivri, because as the Pasuk talks about, Mikesev Ignasai, so it's not just Kesev, it's also like Yashab includes Shavah Kesev, but it's excluding the kinyan of Chalipin. Now, the Gemara, however, asks on Rabbah's interpretation in the Braisa, which would refute Rabbi Yosef's proofs, On that, the Gemara asks, but oh, Rav Nachman, the Amid, but according to Rav Nachman, who he explains in Perakazov, Peiris loy avdi chalipin, that you actually cannot execute chalipin with produce. In other words, if someone would give someone else produce to work along the halachic principles of chalipin, for example, like it's usually customary use with a sudder, with a kerchief, to acquire, let's say, something else, a field or some other object through this chalipin, he holds actually it would not acquire. And actually, this term called davar from the pasuk, everything, he explains not that you could use anything for chalipin, because you actually cannot. You cannot use payrus for chalipin. It means to say that everything is acquired through chalipin, but let's say with a kli, like with a shoe, like it was in that pasuk in Rus. So according to him, ask the Gemara, Ma'ik Lamema, what are you going to say? In other words, now you can't say Rabbah's interpretation that what the Brisa was excluding for the purchase of an Eved Ivri is what he called Teiras Tevuah V'Kelim, which he said, what does that mean? That means Chalipin, because according to Rav Nachman, there is no halacha of Chalipin in regards to Tevuah. So according to Rav Nachman, how do we explain the Brisa that is not going to support Rav Yosef? So El Rav, the Gemara says, La'ilam, truthfully, is a different interpretation. And it still doesn't have to be like Rav Yosef. When the Brisa said that he's ve'enin niknim betfuah v'kelim, that an eved ivri cannot be purchased with produce or utensils, it's talking about the less behushav v'pruta. That because that item, whether it be a piece of silk or whatever it is not worth even a shav v'pruta. Not with a karmit, but then the question that you had asked was, my ir tefuah v'kelim, then why would we pick the Brisa as excluding? That it's not going to work by produce and utensils? Because obviously it's worth less than a pruta. I feel like kesem nami, even money also. Money, the minimum has to be a pruta. So why are we picking as excluding in the Brisa only two of Mekalim? That says the Gemara, loy mebayakama. You're right. We didn't have to even say that. In other words, we were saying even a bigger chiddush by picking two of Mekalim, as the Gemara explains. Loy mebayakasev, I don't have to tell you by money itself. De is based on a pruta in that only if it's at least worth a pruta, which is the lowest denomination, some copper coin, that's going to work for the kinyan of kesef to purchase eved ivri, eloi loi, but if not, of course not going to work. Aval, tvuv kelim ema, but regarding produce and utensils, I would have thought that actually could work. Why? Mid mekarva hanasayu, from the fact that its pleasure is more immediate. It's more immediate in the pleasure that you get because it's an object that you can utilize. Money is just a medium. You can't eat money. You can't sleep with money. It doesn't do anything. It's just a medium to get something else. There, it has to be at least a shavaputa. But regarding an object, I would have thought to say that even though it's worth less than a pruta, gomer o makne nafshe, that the eved ivri would be willing to be acquired even for something less than a shavaputa because it's still something that could give pleasure. Mash Malon, that's the chiddush of the Brisa when we're excluding tvuah v'kelim. Doesn't mean just tvuah v'kelim. Of course, it means money too, but it's even tvuah v'kelim. Because since it's less than shavah pruta, even though it's something that you can have pleasure out of, but it's still less than the required minimum because we learn out the halacha from kesef, which even includes yashav l'rabbi shavah kesef, but it has to be like kesef, which the minimum is a shavah pruta, and that's why we pick tvuah v'kelim. But it's no raya to Rav Yosef. But Amar Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef continues, and he says, okay, Menah Minala. So where do I know my halacha from? Where there's the discussion in the Rishayim and on the Mefarshim regarding if this is going back seemingly as it seems like on the second version of Rav Yosef, or actually it's going back on the first version of Rav Yosef, which regards in general, do you have to go ahead and evaluate something, even if it's going to be worth that same amount, but you promise a certain amount and she doesn't know, but regarding, let's say, Kalduhu, you wouldn't have to, or this seemingly is going back on the second version, as he attempted to bring a proof which was disproven to prove. Now he's bringing another proof to show that, no, it has to be something that has a set amount, even if it's worth a shavah pruta, and we all know that, but it has to be a set amount like money itself. So he says, how do I know this? The time like learning the Brisa. The Brisa says, if someone says, Egel zeh l'pidyon b'ni, says that this calf will be for the redemption of my son. Or he says, Tala zeh l'pidyon b'ni, this talis, this cloak will be for the redemption of my son, which are the five slum that has to be given for the redemption of what's called Pidyon HaBen, of the firstborn. As the Pasuk says in Bamidbar Yudches, Ufiduyev miben chaydish tifta be'erkecha, that his redemption of when he reaches a month old, 30 days, should be redeemed for his value, kestev chamesh shkalim, it has to be five shkalim. So if he says, instead of giving five shkalim, he says, I'll give this talis or this eagle, Loya Maklum. He hasn't said anything. Even if he gives it to the kohen, he has not fulfilled the obligation of Pinya Ben. But Egel Zeh B'chamish Shlom L'Fidyon B'ni. But let's say he says, this calf, which is to take place of the five slum for the redemption of my son, or Talas Zu B'chamish Shlom L'Fidyon B'ni, or this Talas will be for the 5 slum worth that I have to go ahead and redeem my son. The other brisa says, b'nai padar. Then the son is redeemed. Now, so the Gemara asks, and this is what's going to be Ravisa's proof. Hai pidyon hechadami. One of the cases we're discussing over here, when he's redeeming his son, and that is, if you're entertaining to say that the calf or the talis was not worth 5 slum, well then, kol kamine? How do we understand then the seifa? When he says that, let it take the place of the 5 slum, why would that be that his son is redeemed if it's not the value of the 5 slum? Elolav, rather, says Rabbi Yosef, avagav deshavi, that even though it is worth 5 slum, and that's the case that the Reisha is discussing, and still the Reisha says, lo yamakomi hasn't said anything, why not? Since it's not a set amount, because yes, it's worth 5 slum. It could be 500 slum, this cow. But no one knows exactly how much it's worth. Oh, you don't know exactly. It's shava kesef. It can't be like kesef until you know exactly the same amount. So Rav Yisrael, that proves my halacha that I said that even if someone wants to be mekadesh isha with a piece of silk, and it's for sure worth the minimum amount, but if you don't know exactly, it doesn't work in the functionality as kesef. Another Gemara says, loy. No riots, Rav Yisrael. La'olam d'loy shavi. Truthfully, we could say that this calf, this talus, was not worth in the minimum 5 slum, and that's why the ratio makes sense, why it wouldn't fulfill the halacha pinya ben. Now then, but how do we understand the sefer then? Why does that work when he says, oh, and let this be for the 5 slum worth that I have to redeem? Okay, it's only worth 4 slum, 3 slum. How's it working? So the sefer is talking about ukugoyin de kobl koyin ilove. When the koyin accepts it for himself, that it should be, and that's where the words of like, he's telling the kohen, let this be for the 5 slum, and the kohen takes it. That means to say that he's accepting for it, even though in really in the market value it's worth less, that will fulfill the obligation of the 5 slum. As the Gemara illustrates this, ki hadi Rav Kahana, like by Rav Kahana, shakal sudra mi be pinya ben, he would just take a kerchief from the family that was had to do the pinya ben. And normally he said to the father, don't worry, l'didi chazali chamesh slum, for me, I consider it as if it's worth 5 slum. I'm evaluating for myself, and for my own personal evaluation, I will receive it as if it's 5 slum. So that's the halach of the seifa, where when he's telling him, let it work for 5 slum, and he receives it, it's like he's saying, I'm taking it, even though it's not worth 5 slum, and that's when the ratio didn't work. But when he says it, that I'm going to take it as if it's worth 5 slum, then it works. Now, however, the Gemara qualifies this halach. Amar Vashi says, Loya Moran, we didn't say this, that something could be really worth less. But someone says, for me, it's worth 5 slum, and that it should work. That's Elikugun Rav Kahana. That's only, like by Rav Kahana, where, as we say in his case, where he took just a kerchief and that worked, the Gavar Rabahu. He was a great person. He was a Talmud Chacham. Now, as Rashi points out, he wouldn't go with what's called Gilir Rosh. In Talmudic times, not everyone would wear at all times a head covering, and he needed a head covering. So he needed this kerchief to cover his head. So therefore, for him, it actually has a certain value. So he could receive it, and it's worth for him 5 slum. But for everybody, that wouldn't necessarily work. Because, like we find by Mabra Avashi, that Zavin Sudra Mi'imid the Rabbi Mekuvi, he purchased a kerchief from the mother of Rabbi Mekuvi, which that's the name of a place, Shavi Asara Betleisim. A kerchief that was really only worth 10, he purchased it for 13. Now, what does that mean? That means to say you could have something worth less, but for certain people, it's worth more because I need that item. So that's what the Gemara is explaining, that let's say by the case that we're illustrating from Rav Kahana, where he accepted a kerchief, which is not worth 5 slum, from a family for the pinya ben, because yes, for him personally, it was worth. That's the case of the sefer with the eagle and the talis. Maybe that kohen needed the calf or needed the talis, and even though it's worth less, for him, he could say it was worth more, and that's how we could explain the brisa, not proving Rav Yosef's halacha, because he wanted to say it obviously was worth more, and that's how it's working in the sefer, but the ratio won't work because it wasn't exactly the amount that, and therefore it doesn't work as shava kesef. And then the Gemara says, no, it's actually worth less, and that's why the Rashi says, the ratio is told it's not going to work. The sefer that says it's going to work is because for him, it's worth it, and therefore he could consider it as if it was 5 slum. So that ends this discussion again, where there's no proof to Rav Yosef, and that was the two different versions of the Machlekes, Rav Yosef and Rabbah, regarding if a man wants to be Mekadosh a woman with a piece of silk, where, according to the first version, the Machlekes, everyone agrees that if it's whatever, they agree for whatever it's worth, it should be a Kedushin, it would be a valid Kedushin. The whole Machlekes was regarding if, he says if it's worth 50, and it actually is worth 50, but she doesn't know that, it was never evaluated, Rabbah says it will work, Rav Yosef says it will not work. Then there's the version in the Seifa where in the Ikud Amri that Rabbi Yisim actually holds is not going to be valid even when they both agree whatever it's worth, because it doesn't function as Kesef until it's like Kesef in the sense of that where there's a set amount, versus over here where, yeah, we know it's worth more than the Shava Pruta, but we don't know exactly how much it's worth, and if it's not going to work along the medium of the halacha of Kesef, and therefore she's not going to be Mekudeshes. Now the Gemara continues along a similar discussion of the previous dafim regarding what different variations in the halacha of being kaina, a woman, in the kinyan of Kesef. So Amr Belasser, he says, let's say the man tells a woman, Hiskachli b'mana, I want you to be engaged to me with a mana, which is a certain high denomination of currency. Now, v'nasan la dinner. Now, he promised a mana, that's how he wants to be Mekadesha, but he only gave her a dinner, which is actually only worth 1/100th of a mana, and he gave her that dinner right away. Says Rebbe Lazar, Harezu Mekadeshes, she's engaged right now, because when she received this dinner, she was receiving it for the purposes of Kiddushin. Now, it was only that on condition, obviously, that he will fulfill his tanai, which was to pay up the other 99%. And therefore, but she's engaged now because she received the dinner for Kiddushin. The Yashim, and then he'll pay up the other 99%. So the Gemara is my time, what's the reason? So the Gemara explains. Kimin da amala mana, since he told her a mana v'yavla dinner, but what he actually gave her was just a dinner. Kaman da amarla amanastami, so it's like, as we see the actions speak louder than words, as if he told her, on condition that I give you the mana. Because we see that he's not giving that right now, but to create Kiddushin, you have to give something. So he gave a dinner, which is worth more than a Shabbat Pruta, but that's creating the Kiddushin. And then the rest is a Tanai. Now, on that, the Gemara says, Va'amar Rav Hun Amar Rav, that a Kolo Imra Amanas, whoever says on condition, meaning a Tanai, is Ko'imim Achshav Dami. It's like he's saying that it should take effect right now, but that at a later point in time, I'll fulfill that contingency. So therefore, that's the same thing over here. When he says, Amim Mekadesh you with a mana, but he gives a dinner, obviously, what's really going on subliminally over here is that we're creating the condition with the dinner, but there's a condition over here that the rest should be paid up at a certain point, and therefore that will create a condition even right now. Now, on this halacha of Rebbe Elazar, the Gemara asks Meisvei. The Gemara brings a brisa. The brisa says, if a husband tells a woman, if a man tells a woman, Hiskachli b'mana, become engaged to me with a mana. V'haymayna v'haylach, and now he's counting out, takes out the attaché case, and he's counting up all the money. Now, v'ratza echad mehen lachzer. Now, if let's say one of them wants to back out of the kedushin, says the brisa, afilu b'dinah ha'achron, even if he's up to the last dinner, he's about to give her the last 100th dinner to complete the mana. Says the brisa, harishus b'yaday. So whoever wants to back out at that point could still back out, and the reason being is because obviously the kedushin does not take effect until she receives all of the dinarim to be the entire mana. So how can you say that Rebbe Elazar, that she's Mekudeshes, even when he gives her just one dinner, when we see that even if he's up to dinner number 99, that even at that point, she could still retract. But what do you mean? Isn't she Mekudeshes from the first dinner? The Brisa seems to contradict Rebbe Elazar. So that the Gemara answers, Nahachamai Skin, and the case that the Brisa is discussing is the Amar B'manu Zu. When he says, I want you to be engaged to me with this mana, which obviously is that, okay, meaning that her understanding and her consent is regarding the entire mana. Because he says this mana, okay, that's going to create the kedushin. Obviously, not a dinner. In contrast to Rebbe Elazar's case, when he just said a mana, where then you could say, okay, but the kedushin is going to be with a dinner on the condition that you pay up the rest. Now, this answer the Gemara asks, well, how can you explain that that's the case of the brisa? Hamidisefa b'mana zu, but from the fact that the end of that brisa, the Gemara is shortly going to quote, ends up changing a case and saying mana zu this mana. So Reisha, so the Reisha that doesn't say Zu, obviously is Toma B'mana Stam. It's Toma when he just said, I want to be Mekadosh to you with a Mana, not Mana Zu. Because then the Seifa, if it means Mana Zu, then why did the Seifa say Mana Zu? Because the Reisha already was Toma the case of Mana Zu. The Katani Seifa, because as we learned at the end of that Brisa, where it says, Amala Hiskachli B'mana Zu, if let's say he tells him, I want you to engage to me with this Mana. So here it explicitly says that this Mana. Now, therefore, says the Brisa, Emanimtza mana chaser dinar. Now, let's say after he gives her the whole mana, it turns out that it's actually missing one dinar, a dinar shal nechayshes, or it's a copper dinar, not a silver dinar. So, ain't the Mekadesh, she's not engaged because he said this mana, which means the total mana. Until he gives the total mana, she's not engaged. Whereas dinar ra, if it's a bad dinar, which the Gemara surely is going to explain what that means, then harizu Mekadeshes, it's still considered a valid dinar to be the full mana. And but v'yachlev, so she's engaged, but he would have to swap it and give her a good dinner. Now, but one thing we see is that the Seifa is obviously delineating this mana in contrast to the Reisha, which didn't say mana zu, must be talking about mana stam. So how can you say, to answer the question, that the Brisa is talking about mana zu in contrast to Rabbi Elazar, when clearly the Reisha is not talking about mana zu? So I think Mar says, Loi, no, it's actually not a question on what our interpretation was. Reisha b'Seifa d'amar b'mana zu, really the beginning of that Brisa and the end of the Brisa is talking about when he said, I want to engage you with this mana. Or Perusha k'mafarish. The end of the Brisa is actually explaining, it's a continuation of the Reisha as follows. The Brisa said, Ratza ech mehen lachzer. This was the halacha of when he says, I want to engage you with a mana, which we're explaining means mana zu, as the Brisa actually explains it itself. That's what the Seifa is doing. So it said, if one of them wants to retract, afilu b'din ha'achron arshus b'yaday. Even if they're almost up to the last dinner, but if you didn't give the whole money yet, they could retract. And that is what the Brisa is saying. Ketzad, what case did we say that by? Could go into Amar la b'mana zu. That would be, for example, when he said, with this mana. And then it turns out, as this end of the Brisa told me, it turns out that there's a dinner missing, then she's not going to be engaged. And that's what the Brisa meant when it said that if one of them wants to retract, her shus b'yaday, because you didn't give the whole entire mana. Whereas Rebbe Elazar was talking about manastam, then you cannot retract, because then after giving just one dinner, it actually would create the Kedushin. Now the Gemara actually says, v'hachanam mistabra, actually is more logical the way we're interpreting the Brisa now, that the Seifa of the Brisa is not a different case, which that was the questioner's point, where there it's manazu and the Reisha is manastam, and that actually it's explaining the Reisha. Why? Because if you would entertain like the questioner did, that the Reisha is talking about a case of when he just says, I want to engage you without specifying which mana, and it's not going to create a Kedushin until the last dinner is given until its entire mana. Is that the Gemara says, Hash the b'mana stam, then if the time of the Brisa already told us in the Reisha, regarding a case when he says, I want to engage you with a mana, doesn't say this mana, and still loy have a kedusha, it's not going to be considered kedushin because that's what the Brisa says, that they could retract until they get the entire mana. So then b'mana zus, and regarding the case of the Seifa, when he specifies this mana and it turns out that a dinner is missing, and she obviously didn't get the entire mana, mibaya, would we need to say that they could retract? Of course, because even when you don't specify this mana, which delineates more that everything has to be given, if the mana stam you have to give everything, for sure mana zu, for sure, and therefore it must be that it's not toma mana stam in the Reisha, because then you wouldn't need the Sefer for. It's actually one long case where the Sefer is explaining to the Reisha, when did we say she's not Mukadesh until she gets the entire mana, is when you say mana zu. But again, Rebbe Elazar is talking about a case of mana stam, where even if you give one dinner, it would already created the Kedusha. Now, however, the Gemara rejects this proof of this Hachanam Mistabra, because the Gemara says, Imishim Haloi Iria. If that's your proof that the Brisa is explaining the Reisha through the Seifa, that's no proof. Why? Because actually, Tana Seifa Ligluya Reisha. Actually, I could tell you that the Reisha is talking about Manastam, and the Seifa is talking about Manazu. But then you asked, what do you mean? If already Manastam, I told you, that's not going to be Mukadeshus until you have the whole Mana, for sure Manazu. And that says the Gemara that no. I could say that the Tana of the Brisa taught the case of the Seifa to reveal the thrust and the strength of the halacha, the Reisha. In other words, Shaloi Tameh, that you shouldn't say, had I not said the Seifa, maybe you would have said that Reisha b'mana zu. You would have thought to interpret, as actually that's what the Gemara is trying to do, to say that the Reisha is talking about mana zu. Av b'mana stam, have a kedushin, but maybe you would have said that if it's he just says, I want to be mekadeshi with the mana, then it would be a kedushin. Therefore, says the Gemara, maybe that's why Tana Seifa b'mana zu. That's why the Tana and the Brisa taught the Seifa to say a case of Manazu, where Machlal, well, obviously, why are you saying the Seifa Manazu? That obviously the Reisha, but Manastam, that must be the case of the Reisha, is not a redundancy, must be saying even the case of when Manastam, Vafalahachi lava Kedushin, and still it's not going to be a Kedushin. In other words, that you're right. Of course, once you have the Reisha, you don't need the Seifa, but I said the Seifa so that you know that the Reisha is not talking about Manazu, because then I would say, hey, Manazu, what do you need both cases for? Must be to tell you that the Reisha is talking about even by Manastam, and we didn't just say the word Mana and leave out that we're talking about Manazu. It actually is talking about Manastam, and therefore the Gemara says that that's a viable option. Therefore, it's not Hachanam Mistabra, but again, the Gemara says it's not a difficulty on your Belazah. You could interpret the Brisa that the Seifa is explaining the Reisha, but don't prove your point and say, oh, must be Hachanam Mistabra, because then what would the Seifa be saying? I could tell you the Seifa would be saying that Manazu, so that you know that the Reisha is talking about even Manastam, it's not going to be Kedushin until you have the entire Mana. That's one resolution for the question on the, of the Braisa on Rabbi Elazar, where again that the Sefer is explained in the Reisha. Ravashi Amar, Ravashi says a different resolution for the question of the Braisa on Rabbi Elazar, not like the first option which said that Rabbi Elazar toma mona stam and that the Braisa toma mona zu. He says, Meinav ha'ilich shani. The case of the Braisa is different. In other words, even if let's say the Braisa toma as seemingly it does, mona stam. He didn't say mona zu. But since she sees him counting out the money, that's why that's different than Rabbi Elazar's case. Because the daita kule. So her intention, her consent is on all the money because she sees him counting it out. Okay, he told me mana, so I guess let me wait till I get the entire mana. That's when the kedushin is going to happen. Until she gets the entire mana, she's not going to be willing to be engaged. But in Rabbi Elazar's case, when he doesn't start counting out all this money, he says, I'm engaging you with the mana. And all he gives her is a dinner, and she receives that, she takes it. Obviously, why is she taking it? For the purposes of kedushin, and that she understands that the rest of the mana, the rest of the other 99%, was a condition. It was a contingency. That, kolo ema manas, is kolo ema achshav damin, therefore she's engaged right now. Versus the braisa was that he's counting it out. There is different. There's obviously her intention is to wait till she gets the whole mana to then agree and accept a kedushin. So again, those are two approaches to explain the braisa, that it's not difficult under Belaza. But the Gemara just goes back, as we had mentioned, one of the cases of the braisa was that regarding if he promises her a mana, and instead of 100 silver dinners, one of them is a dinner of nechayshes, it's made out of copper, so she's not going to be mukadeshes. So now the Gemara asks, hai dinar shal nechayshes, in this case, when it turns out that one of the dinarim are out of copper, and that she's not engaged, hey chedom, what's the case talking about? As the Gemara explains, e diyadabe, if she knew, she saw that one of them is a copper dinner, and she took it all, so hasav of a kabbalah. So she realizes, and she still received it. So obviously she consented, even though he had promised one thing, but she was willing to go with that copper one. So why wouldn't she be mukadeshes? So there the Gemara says, Leitzrich, I must be talking about, either that he had given the tar at nighttime, where she can't see, and therefore she didn't notice this. It's only later when she realized that, when that doesn't, that therefore her receiving of it wasn't necessarily consent, Inami, or it's tomatish takeach le bene zuzi, where it was found amongst the other zuzim. In other words, she didn't notice. He gave her a whole sack full of money where it was mixed in, and therefore her receiving it is not proof. Later on, when she was going through it, she realized, hey, this one's copper. Therefore, that shows us that really she had never been mukudeshes because she only was going based on getting a full mana, and that's not a full mana because it wasn't a silver dinner, it was a copper dinner. Now, the Gemara clarifies another point in this price, a high dinner ra hechidami. The other case that the Braisa spoke about was if one of the dinarim is a bad dinner, so he said she's mukadeshes because she got her 100 dinarim, but since it's bad, he has to exchange it for her. What's that case talking about? So the Gemara says, idelei nafik, if it's not usable when it's such a bad dinner, it's not usable for currency. Sahainu dinish on the chayshes. So essentially, that's the same case as a copper dinner. In other words, it doesn't have the value of a full dinner, so why would she be mukadeshes? Because it's like she got 99 dinarim, and we said it's only until she gets all 100. So Madam Rapapa explains, in other words, it does work. You could find some shopkeeper, someone's going to take that dinner from you, but it's very difficult and challenging to use it. So therefore, it is a full mana, but since it's not the optimum, therefore he has to exchange it for her. So that's that case of a dinner ra where it works, but still it's not exactly as was promised, and therefore he has to exchange it for her. Now, related discussion to these cases of when he says he wants to be Mekadesha through a kinyan of Kesef, but he doesn't do exactly the traditional way, Amar Rava, Amar Rav Nachman. Let's say, Amar lo hiskach li b'mana. He tells a woman, I want to engage you with a mana. V'hinich lo mashken ala. Now, he doesn't give her a mana. Now, the previous case we spoke about was, instead of giving her a mana, he gives her only a dinner. Where Rabbi Elazar said, that's going to work. Here he doesn't give her actually anything. He gives her collateral. He gives her a mashken, a deposit, something that, which it's not towards the payment at all. It's something that when I finally give it to you, you'll give me back that collateral, but he gives her collateral. Says Rava, ain't a mukadeshes. She's not engaged. He hasn't given her anything. Why? As the Gemara explains in Amud Beis. Since mana ain't kan, since he didn't give her any part of the mana, so mashkin ain't kan. So therefore, there's no mashkin here either. In other words, what he's saying is that the collateral has no value because he's not gifting her anything. Kiyikach Ish Isha tells us that he has to be giving her something. You're not giving her anything. Yes, she can hold on to it until you give her something, but you haven't given her anything, and therefore it's not a valid kedushin. Now, that Eisvei Rava L'Rav Nachman, so Rava, asked Rav Nachman. He says, but the Braisa says, Kid Shebe Mashkin Mukudesha. The Braisa clearly contradicts this, where it says, if he is Mekadeshah with collateral, she is Mukudesha. And that Gemara says, no, it's not a contradiction. Hasan Be Mashkin De Acherim, when it says that he engages her with collateral, that she's engaged, it means to say, if he has collateral from someone else, and he gives her that collateral, that will create a kedushin. Meaning to say he's being mekadesh with the debt that that person owes him. That's why she's mekadesh, is because that mashkin itself, he actually owns that collateral. Ukad Rabbi Yitzchak says, the Amr Rabbi Yitzchak says, minayin l'val chayiv shekoyin mashkin. How do we know that a creditor, when he gets collateral from the debtor, he actually owns that collateral? And that's why we're explaining this case of the Braisa. When he gives this to the woman, he's giving her something of value because he owns this. Now, when the guy pays up the debt, he gives back that collateral, but he owns it, and the guy has to pay him up. So he's giving the woman either the collateral, which he's actually giving it to her because he owns it, or the debt, which is owed to him, so she'll get that, but he's giving her something. Again, in contrast to the case that we mentioned where we said mona inkan, mashkin inkan, where when he's giving her this mashkin, it's not as a creditor. So therefore, he's not giving her anything. But here we're told about where he's a creditor to someone else, that collateral he actually owns. And says Rabbi Yitzchak, how do we know that? Shneman, because the pasuk says in Devarim, and this is in Perek Chavdal Pasuk Yigimel, where it talks about the halacha of Hashiv Tashabloi es ha'avait kavay Hashemesh. You have to return to somebody the collateral that you have when the sun comes. B'shachav b'salmasei, so that the person could lay in there at nighttime with their garments, uverach echo, and then they will bless you. And Hashem says, to you, the person, the creditor, who has the collateral, and then you give it back to him when he needs it, for you it's going to be considered like charity. Now that's Rabbi Yitzchak, if the creditor doesn't own the collateral, tzedakah minayin, how is it charity? Charity is when you have something, you're giving to someone else your thing. If it's not yours, if it's his, and you're just giving back his thing, how is that charity? So Rabbi Yitzchak, mikan labal chayiv shekoyin mashkin. From here we see that the creditor actually owns the mashkin. So therefore it's considered charity when he gives it to the person that's the debtor, and then he takes it back from him. So that's what the Gemara answers. That's the case of the Braisa that says you can be Mekadesh Yishu with a mashkin, not your own mashkin. That, of course, you haven't given her anything. When it's a mashkin that you have as a creditor from someone else, that you own, and that if you give it to her, will create a kedushin. Similarly, the Gemara brings a story to illustrate this halacha, that B'nei Rav Huna Bar Oven, the sons of Rav Huna Bar Oven, Zavin Hahi Amsa Bepriti, they were purchasing a certain maidservant, with on the condition to pay up a few copper coins. Now, Lohava Bahadai, they didn't have a few copper coins on them. What did they do? They gave a bar of silver to be there. Here, we want to buy this. I know you want to make sure you have your money. So we're giving you a bar of silver, which obviously is not worth that amount. But when we come back, we'll give you the copper coins. Now, L'saif Ayakar Amsa. Ultimately, the value of the maidservant went up. So they came in front of the Reb Ami to discuss this, which is like, hey, he's charging a higher price now for her, but we already quote, bought her, we already made up with these few copper coins, and therefore it's not fair for him to go up. So Amalahu, so Reb Ami said to them, no, Priti ain't kan, the copper coins that you had made up with, you never had given the copper coins yet. And therefore, Nascha, the silver bar which you had given as collateral, is also ain't kan. Is also not here. It doesn't work any way towards the purchasing of the maidservant. In other words, had they given the prutais, then actually they would have acquired the maidservant already, because as Rashi brings it, Evet Kenani could be purchased with money. But you never gave the money yet. All you gave was a mashkin, was a collateral. Collateral doesn't purchase anything. It's similar to the halacha that we're discussing of acquiring a woman for kedushin. For the kinyan of kesef, for kedushin is the same as the kinyan of kesef. For a maidservant, you didn't give anything. You gave collateral. Collateral doesn't do anything. And therefore, it didn't create an kinyanim. And therefore, he could charge the higher price right now. And you would have to pay that if you want the maidservant. Tanarban, we're in the Braisa. Mer continues on different halachas relating to variations of the kinyan of kesef for women in kedushin. The Braisa says, if a man says to a woman, hiskatche libi mana, I want you to be engaged to me with this mana, and he gives it to her. Nataltai, so she takes it. Buzurkarsei leam, she throws it into the sea. Ayla or into the fire. Ayla chadavar avid, or anything that obliterates, that ruins, that gets the money lost. And she does this in front of him, where essentially what she's saying is, I don't want your money. Says the Braisa, Eina mukadesha, she's not engaged. Now, the Gemara asks on this. Hasha desinu kame, what it sounds like from the Braisa is, but had she thrown it in front of him, in other words, in the place where it's not ruined, she didn't throw it into the sheet, she just threw it on the ground, sounds like have a kedushin, that would be a valid kedushin, because he's saying if she throws it away, she throws it into the sea, that's where she's saying, hey, I'm not interested in getting engaged. He gave me this money, she throws it away, gets lost. But if she had thrown it in front of him, it sounds like it would have been a kedushin, because it's not totally lost. But on that, ask the Gemara, why? Ha-kamrali shakal loibina. What essentially she's saying, and this is what we say, actions speak louder than words, is that I don't want your money. So why would we say only a case of when she throws it into the fire? Why? Why is it? Why would it be any different if she throws it on the ground? She's saying, I don't want your money. So the Gemara says, no, you're right. It's saying that we don't have to say that case is what the Brice is saying. In other words, we don't have to tell you that if she just throws the money on the ground, that it's not going to be a kedushin, because she's saying, I don't want your money. Don't give me this ring. And she throws it onto the ground. Aval, but I would have thought, and that's what the Brice is addressing, or if she throws it into the sea or into the fire, Ema, I would say, kiven de mechayva behu, since she now becomes liable to pay for the damages, where she threw the ring into the sea, that because she becomes liable for that payment, she's actually conclusive that kedusha kodesh nafsha, she with what she owes now, she actually makes up that she is going to become engaged to this man. Now, since the ring is now hers, now because she received it, and if she would have thrown it on the ground, she's saying, hey, I don't want to have anything to do with you. But now that she's throwing it to the sea, she's obviously is liable, she is responsible, she had received it, and it is hers. Now, since it's hers, the fact that she's throwing it, you know why she's throwing it? This that she's doing this is, Sava, she thinks to herself, if the Kela Hai Gavi, you know what, let me test out this guy. I'm getting into a long-term relationship. Let me see if he's a guy who gets angry or not. Let me see his temper. And that's why she's doing it, not to show that she's not interested in getting engaged. If she throw it on the ground, she's saying, I have nothing to do with you. But here, when she's throwing it to the sea or any way that gets it ruined, which makes her liable, which therefore makes it that it was hers, because you acquired it through the theft. So therefore, we would say that actually now we would reinterpret and say that, wait, if she actually received it and she is responsible for it, now why is she throwing it to the sea? Not and because she already received this, not because she's showing that she's not actually getting engaged. Maybe it's just to test him, and therefore maybe she would be mukadeshes, because if we passed the test, she's like, okay, I'm all in. Kamash Malan, that's what the Brice is teaching, that no. If she throws it away, she throws it away. Whether it's on the ground or she throws it in the sea, she's obviously dysregulated, she's not interested in getting engaged, and she throws it away. The fact that she's liable for damages, okay, she'll have to pay that. But we're not going to reinterpret that to say that she was just testing him, but the fact that she's responsible and liable would tell us that she received it to could be conclusively agreeable to the kedushin. That's not the case. But of course, throwing in the ground would also not be a kedushin. Other halachas. Tarabon ulinna braisa. Hiskachli b'mana. If he says, get engaged to me with this mana, and she says, t'neim la'abu ulavicha. Give it to my father, give it to your father. Says the Braisa, ain't a mukadeshes, she's not engaged. Now, Rashi points out that this is not similar to the halacha we mentioned of Vav Mabez, when she says that, give the money to that person and I'll be engaged to you, where we said that it's going to be a kedushin, because there it's talking about where beforehand she told him this. She says, look, give this guy money, I'll be engaged to you. So that, obviously that's something that she wants, and she's going to be gleimer makna nafsha for the kedushin that way. But here it's talk. Here basically it's like she's making a fool out of him. She's saying, I don't want your money. Give it to that guy. Give it to my father. Give it to your father. So of course she's not really being agreeable to kedushin, so she's not going to be engaged. But if she says, al menashe kabamli, when he says, I want to engage you with the mana, she says, on the condition that they receive it from me, meaning give it to my father or to your father, then I'll be engaged to you, then she's engaged, because she's not saying, give it to them. She's saying, on condition that you give it to them. So that's obviously saying that she's agreeable, she just wants them to receive it for her. Maybe she trusts them in how they're going to handle her money. So that's the two cases of the Brisa. Now, the Gemara interjects over here and says, in way of clarification, that Tani Abba, the Brisa discussed, there was two people that it said, my father, the woman's father, and your father, the man's father. So the Gemara says that Tani Abba, the reason why I mentioned her father, was like the Acha Koyach Dereisha. That was to show and illustrate this power of the halacha of the reisha, where although she was saying, give it to my father, she's not really saying, I want to be engaged to you. It's like, okay, give it to my father. You want to give somebody money? You don't have to give it to me. Give it to my father. But it's not that she's agreeable to kedushin. And Tana Avicha, the reason why it said the case of give it to your father, was L'diach HaKeich the Seifa. That was illustrating actually the strength of the halacha of the Seifa, where it said that she's going to be engaged when she says, on condition that you give it to my father or even to your father, because even though it's not her relative, but obviously she relies on the fact that his father will be a trustworthy agent for the receipt of her Kiddushin money, and therefore when he receives it for her, he's going to be her agent, and then she's going to be Mekudeshes. That's a bigger Chiddush than my father, where, okay, on condition that my father receives it, he's always been taking care of my monies. But the Chiddush is that even if he says, your father, that will also be valid if she says, Almanas. And the Braisa continues and says, let's say Hiskachali B'mana, he says, I want you to be engaged to me with this mana. And she says, Tinaim Laplaini, give it to that guy. So again, Eini Mekudesh, she's not engaged because she's just throwing him away. She's saying, I don't need it, give it to her. Amanashi Kavli, if she says, on the condition that that other person receives it from me, then Mekudesh, then she's engaged. So again, the Gemara explains the Tzricha, and we have to say both the Reish of this Braisa and the Seifa. Because Diyashmin and Abba Vavicha, had we only said the case, because essentially the Seifa is the same thing, just switching father, my father, your father, and some other person, both again when she says Tanaim and Almanas, where Tanaim does not work and Almanas does work, because had we only said the Reisha of Abba Vavicha, my father, your father, so Hasam Hu Dechi Amra Almanas, that would be, we would say, where the case of the Seifa, when she says on the condition she kabumli that they receive it from me, have a kedushin, that there would be kedushin, to some chadaita like, because she relies on them. This is obviously her new father-in-law or her father, where she relies on them. Sovereign avdin lishlichusai, she thinks to herself, they'll do my agency, they'll receive the money from me, they'll make sure that the kedushin transfer goes over well. But I would have thought to say, even when she says almanas, when she says some other person, that would not be an agreement to kedushin. So that's why we needed to say for this, say that even if it's some other person, but if she's saying almanas on the condition that it is going to be a kedushin. Now the yeshmin polaini, had we only said the case of the sefer when she says someone else should receive it from me, hacha hu dechi amr to name leplaini. So I would have thought only in such a case when she says the first type of halacha that give it to some other person that lo have a kedushi, it's not going to be a kedushi. Because that person is not a close relative of hers to say that she's agreeable to Kedushin and that she really wants that he should just give it to that other person as a gift and through that she'll agree to be Kedushin, because no, she's saying, you know what, just give it to someone else. But she's essentially saying, I don't want to be Mekudeshes. Aval, but I would have thought, Abba Vavicha. But if she says, give it to my father, give it to your father, to Mekarva Daita Legabayu, that she's close to these people, which one is her father and one is her future father-in-law, where Ema, I would say, b'matono yahavisin alayu, that she's actually saying, give them as a gift. I mean, I don't need so much money, but you want to be mekadesh me? Do me a favor and give it to my father or to your father, where these are people that she's close to. Maybe I would say that means to say that she's agreeable to kedushin. So that's why tzricha, that's why I had to say the case of Abba Vavicha too, that it's only when she says almanas, then it's mekudeshes. But if she says tanaim, give it, there it's not saying that she wants to be agreeable to kedushin and that it's a gift for them. She's saying, no, I don't need your money. I don't want to be mekudeshes to you. Give it to my father, give it to your father, but it's pushing him away versus as a way of being accepting of the kedushin by giving it to someone else. Mar brings another braisa, Tanabon Lina braisa. Again, Hiskachali b'mana, become engaged to me with this mana. Now she tells him, tanaim al gebasela, put it on top of a rock. Says the Braisa, Eini Mekudesh. Again, she's just pushing him away. She's not engaged. She's saying, put it there. You know, I don't need your stuff. But then, Ha Yisela Shalah, says the Braisa, but if it was her rock, well, then Mekudesh is, and she's engaged. Because as Rashi says, a person's area that they own, their chatzar, acquires for them, and it's like she received it. Where, as Taisa explains, in other words, but what it's illustrating is that she's agreeable to the Kedushin. Now, Bayer Abibi, however Abibi inquires is, Sela Shal Shnei Yamahu. What's Halacha if that rock that she said that he should put it on is actually owned by both of them? Which again, Taisa explains, it's not regarding the kinyan per se, because actually there it would not be. It's actually reference to, is there a smichas das? Is she agreeable? Where if it's her own rock, she's obviously saying, I want to. If it's both of their rocks, does that mean that she's agreeable or not? So the Gemara take or let it stand, it's not clear when she's saying some other rock, obviously she's not agreeable. Her own rock, it is. Question is, when it's both their rocks, does that mean that she's accepting or not? That's not clear. Hiskachali bekikar. Another case is if, let's say he says, become engaged to me with this loaf of bread. And she tells him, Tanei Lekelev, give it to a dog. So again, in the Mekudesh, she's just pushing him off. She's not engaged. But Vimhaya Kelev Shalah, but if it was her dog, then Mekudesh, then she's engaged. Again, because obviously that's something that she's accepting. She just wants to use it for her dog. Now again, Bayi Rav Murray inquires regarding this halacha. What's if Kelev Ratz Acharel? Let's say there was a dog running after her to bite her. Ma, what's halacha in that case? As the Gemara explains. Do we say by that benefit that she gains, by this man throwing the dog this loaf of bread that's going to save her from the dog, it's with that pleasure that she's getting something from him right now that she conclusively acquires herself to the man for Kedushin and therefore she's Mekudeshes, or maybe no. Matzi Amrle, she could tell the guy, biblically, you're obligated to save me. That's a halacha. And therefore, the fact that I'm telling you to throw the bread, you didn't benefit me anything. You were just fulfilling your own obligations. And therefore, maybe she's not going to be Mekudeshes with it, even if the dog was running after her. So the Gemara take that it's saying it's not clear what would be halacha in that case. Another case is the Skatchili Bekikr. If let's say he tells her, become engaged to me with a loaf of bread, and she says, Teneu la'ani, give it to a poor person. Says the Braisa, Eini Mekudeshes, she's not engaged. Afile ani hasamachala. Even if this is a regular poor person that always relies on her, always comes to eat by her, and when this guy wants to engage her, she says, give it to that poor person, still she's not going to be engaged. My time, what's the reason? Why is this any different, let's say, when it's her dog and this is her poor person? Because Amrli, she can tell him, Ki heichid mechayavna be'a. No, just like I'm obligated, and I do, I fulfill it, to feed this poor person, Hachi mechayaves be'at. So too are you obligated, and therefore you're not benefiting me anything. When I told you to give to the poor person, you were fulfilling your own obligations, and therefore it's not considered that she received a hanah from him as an acceptance of kedushin, and therefore in that case, it would not be considered a valid kedushin, where although she told him to do it, and it's on some level a benefit for her, but that's, she could tell him, it wasn't my benefit, it was your obligation, and therefore she's not going to be mukadashas.